Welcome to the GWB podcast. I'm Nikhil Rabindra. First of all, I would like to thank everyone who reached out to me while listening to the first episode. Many people texted me their live reactions about memories they connected with, and it has been a very special week because of this. Every episode of the GWB podcast will be different from every other. While we spent the last episode with Shyam going down nostalgia lane, this episode gets a little more intimate and personal. But don't worry, we'll sneak in a few good laughs. We talk about challenges and share different perspectives of how we felt about different things growing up. You will hear us think out loud and linger in some meaningful pauses. I hope you enjoy it. With that, let's get started. Was anything ever difficult for you? And when was the first time you felt that?
I think there was a challenge in every year, right? Like you have to go through. One of the challenges was that to go into tuitions, like after studying in class. So like...
Wait, you went to tuitions?
No. I'm saying like I used to see people go to tuitions.
No. That you leave.
I used to... No, I never went to tuitions. I hated the idea of studying for another 1-2 hours after class. And I just couldn't... I registered once and paid for the entire year. And then after 2 classes, I couldn't go anymore. And I told my parents, I can't go. I don't like tuitions. And unfortunately, they couldn't get back the money they paid. But... So tuitions was something that I used to see people go to, and I was like, hey, I mean, is there something additional you want to do good in your grades and stuff, right? So I used to be thinking, hey, do I get more, like, can I perform even better if I go to tuitions? So there was always this, I wanted to excel and really do really well in my studies, and wanted to not leave anything to chance, basically, because like I think that ability I also have developed, and it is very useful for me now, that I don't leave anything to chance. Whenever there, like, if something is under your control, why not go the extra mile, do the extra, push yourself and get things done, like whatever is external. Like, it's very easy to say, yeah, maybe this won't work, but without you checking if it will actually work, mm-hmm. and putting your effort into it and then figuring out, hey, it's not going to work. This kind of persistence I learned during my school time, because like I used to think, okay, how can I do much better? How can I bring in more grades? So that way, I felt there was some internal challenge. But otherwise...
So Shyam, you're telling me your challenge was going from third rank to second rank?
By second, first rank. Was to first, yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Now who's smart?
See. there was this... It wasn't just that. It was about So I really wanted to be an all-rounder. Like, I wanted to do a lot of things and be the best in them.
So what was something you struggled with? That's what I'm trying to... Because I think your track record of what I'm kind of curious to learn is...
Sports. Like, sports. I was zero at sports.
No, but did you pursue it, and did you try hard and then finally give up a day saying that this is not for me? Or like, what is... Like, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, so sports was one of the things that I tried. I think that we had this annual sports day, right? And there were tryouts for that. Had this 200-meter track running. So that I tried 2 years, I think, and then I gave up then that.
But you finished running 200 meters. You could run the full...
No, I couldn't. I just couldn't run it. And I was a laughing stock. Because I couldn't run.
I doubt it.
Couldn't finish.
Let me tell you what used to happen with me, just to make you feel better. So okay. I think I'm notorious for not wearing my shoes properly. So when I did the 100 meter race, when they said go, while running, one shoe came off. So now I'm trying to figure out, do I run with one shoe and come last, or do I then go just go back, pick up the shoe and then say, oh, because of my shoe, I couldn't run fast.
No, but I'm talking about that, the oval run, like you run the whole 200 meters, not the sprint.
No, I couldn't even dream that far. I'm saying that I couldn't survive 5 meters without keeping my shoes on. What is about running 200 meters? That was not even in the question.
Yeah, and then the ball throw.
Short put, yeah.
Short put, yeah, sorry. Ball throw.
No.
Short put was an issue. Was also, I wanted to try it and do, but it didn't work out. And I tried, you know, it's really funny, but like, I tried playing cricket also. And
not funny, but what's funny about that?
We all did. the funny part is like, there was like while bowling, I just couldn't bowl, like because my shoulders would come out and all that. So I just stopped bowling. Initially, I didn't realize what was happening. I thought maybe my bowling method is wrong, and I would actually just bowl and had shoulder issues. Then I was like, hey, that's funny. Then I realized later that it was actually some problem with my shoulder, and it wasn't so. It wasn't something because of my method, you know. And so sports is something that I tried a lot, but didn't work.
Well, even there, you kind of had a sweet last word, because as a house captain, you got to lead your entire contingent on sports day, right? So
that's actually one of the challenges which I feel I still cherish achieving, because like there was this guy who was really bad at sports, and then on the annual day, I think on the annual sports day, you'd have to do this march past
exactly
with this heavy flag, and then doing that march past was a big deal for me, I think, because like for march past, your leg has to be 90 degrees to your up. You know, the knees have to come up 90 degrees. And it would never happen in my case because I was pretty fat. And this march past was actually a time, and we actually won that march past. And I'm really proud of having done that, because we were trained by, I think, an NCC guy, Dharamveer Tatwavedi. And he was the one tasked with training the entire contingent of our house in March Pass. And winning that March Pass was actually a big relief for me, saying, hey, if I actually try to do maybe the right sports, I would still be able to do it. Well, maybe I was just trying the wrong sports.
That being said, Shyam, even when I met you last year, I saw in your house a medal and a certificate for a 5K run you did, and you've been actively running. So even now, right? So that 200 meters was never a blocker in the long run.
Long run is different. Like when you're in that situation, then it's different, right? In hindsight, everything looks different, but when you're in that situation. So this is, say, what, from sixth standard, the march past happened in 11th or 12th. So four, five years, sports was down low. Even football somehow would not work for me because, somehow I did not get into it. And then, so sports was something which almost 3-4 years was a big challenge to take up.
I align with that because, like, I joined the marching contingent to miss class. Very simple.
So, in your 11th?
No, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th.
Oh, okay.
I'm a much fitter sportsman than you because I can march better. No, I'm joking.
Let's compare it now, you know. Now who's fitter? Let's see that.
Who's fitter or who can march properly? That I can handle.
Whatever. You throw me a challenge in in March past or in fitness in generally, then I will be up for it.
No, you'll beat me in fitness. Maybe marching, I have a chance.
Okay.
So I think what I'm trying to learn from your side is also your mental state, right? I think your challenges were forward-looking. You were looking to on improvement and how to make things better in the future. Your challenges were, like, let's say if it was somebody else who had maybe failed a class, the challenge was to catch up and do well in the next exam and everything. It was never backward looking to like fix things rather than yours were more aspirational and improvement. I'm just trying to figure out again, right? That kind of there are a lot more people who had a lot of things they had fixed, or like, let me say this way, like, yeah, like I will tell you this, right? Personally, from my side, in a classroom where there are 50 to 60 people, the top 5% and the bottom 5% are the only people who get attention from the teachers. Anybody in between that are floating in nothingness, right? You don't exist to them. I remember at least till 8th standard, I was in that top 5%, and I was treated very well. PTA meetings were very nice. I was taught, my mom was told the usual, like, his handwriting sucks, but he's smart, so just deal with it. Then I think 9th, of course, I mean, I tried to be cool and I kind of... So what happened is, and the thing is, you really, when you're in that middle, right, you really don't float. You either have to fight your way back up to that top 5%, or you sink down such a way that you get the negative attention from the teachers. So, and I think since I have lived on both sides of the spectrum, I was I was kind of curious, because like for me, when I was in that very bottom 5%, my challenges were like PTA meetings. What's my teacher going to like conjure up about me? Because like then what happened was if you're in the top 5%, all the good stuff other people did also you're associated with. In the bottom 5%, if you didn't do anything but some other idiot, like I know, like in one of those Wonderland, those picnics, some guys have mixed vodka in some Coke and they started drinking in 9th standard.
Mm.
Okay. Now, it was not even my class or our class, because we were both in C, right?
9th session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But because somebody in 9E or someone, and I know, and the guy very happily told me that he did it later on also, right? Out of, as a sense of pride. But because they, like, again, there was some crap. I don't think they even got drunk. It was just the smell. But because they did that, it was assumed that everybody in the whole bottom 5% all did that. So in the PTA meeting, the class teacher, whose name, even if I'm not going to say the... but the physics teacher of 9C... decided to let my mom know that she almost basically said, if those kids were drinking alcohol on the picnic, there's a good chance, since your son is a low life like them, might have been involved. Now, so for anything someone else did, in general, it was assumed that I am one of them. Right? So, like, there would be, so like, PTA meetings were dreadful. You know what I'm trying to say? So like there was... Some people had more existential crises, which is kind of curious. So like, I mean, I was always trying to understand how different people's minds work, right? So like now on your side, it's so nice to be... I think what you went through then is what I feel now with my life as well, right? I think I'm doing all right with life. But now I'm more aspirational on how I can do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, yeah. I think the biggest challenge, like, I had all these mini challenges, maybe, like, they come pop up and you deal with them and then you're done. For example, in 10th, chemistry was a big challenge. Somehow it was not getting into my head.
In 10th?
In 10th, yeah, for boards and all that.
Hmm.
So that was something, I don't know why. I guess it's because in 10th you... Like, at least I was part of an IIT coaching in my free time, and also I guess we were doing all this extracurricular, so somewhere chemistry did not find it. It's space.
So first, your fascination with planes and flying and the Air Force was new for me. We spoke about music. The other thing which I know about you, which I don't think I've brought it up with you, even though I know you well enough, is you had a passion for dramatics. You liked acting, and I know for a fact, and this is just my random power of remembering strange things. I mean, of course, we did a couple of those Whetstone films, I mean, for one church. But you also, in the inter-house dramatics, you played a role in the Pope House play where you were a doctor.
And yeah, that was in ninth,
In ninth, and then you had just two lines, which was like, I mean, you had to die. You had to be shot by the guy. And your line was, Jeremy, no, something like that. And then, you know, I remember even the look was they had put some powder, talcum powder on your hair to make you look older, this and that. And then you had to be shot and lay dead on the stage till the end of the play or something like that.
Yeah.
Am I recollecting
it? Yeah. And then I had a pouch of blood, which was basically kumkum powder mixed with water.
Look at that.
And
yeah.
when someone shot me, I had to press it so that it splashes.
So my question is, where did the flair for dramatics and acting come for you?
Actually, it begins back in my Kanpur days. So I think in second or third standard. By the way, in my school before Cottons, also I was in the yellow house. So I was really happy to be sorted. It was called Mahanadi House in, I think it was called Jaipuria, Seth Anandram Jaipuria School in Kanpur. So there, Mahanadi House, and here in Cottons, Pope House, yellow color. And I was very happy that I was in this house. Yeah, so in second or third, so I don't know, I'm not very clear on how, but like I joined elocution. You know, you learn a poem and you recite it with some like modulation.
Modulation, so, yeah.
Yeah, so elocution, I used to do a lot of elocution debates and actually more elocution in my first school. Mm-hmm. And used to represent the school for inter-school elocution. And this also, I think in sixth standard also, if you remember, Oh Captain, My Captain, Our fearful trip is done. that was also part of the elocution. I'd actually won that year, I think, in sixth standard. And then in seventh standard, the Pope House captain told me to repeat the performance, and I screwed it up completely. And then in ninth, I think, acting somehow, maybe because of the movies that we saw, or for, oh, actually, no, I remember, I think in eighth, did we do Shakespeare in eighth?
We started Julius Caesar in ninth, but we might have done more abridged stories in eighth. No, seventh also. Yeah. I think. Yeah, in seventh, we might have done, like, we did Merchant of Venice and all that, because I know we have done it.
I think it stems from there, actually, because, like, somehow Shakespeare, watching movies in my private time, and...
you had 1 GB of movies, I remember that, yeah.
And that's how it came up, I guess, the interest to be in theater. And I think in 6th, 7th, 8th, every year we used to have performances of our seniors in inter-school dramatics, right? Like, I remember there were a lot of shows and I wanted to be a part of it. So I guess I just want to try it out. Then in 9th, I tried it out. And then in 11th also, there was this... 11th also, I tried it out, and I was very surprised to have competed against people who said they have been training under masters from Bangalore School of Dramatics, and then still having put on a good performance.
Well, you know the Bangor School of Dramatics in Koramangala, if you abbreviate them, it becomes BSDK. It's open to interpretation. It's art. Yeah. So that joke was there, so I had to make it. It's kind of cute. So like that kind of gets me interested again on trying to think about. So your elocution. So you do you feel like in a way, and this is just me thinking out loud. Do you feel that your dramatics for you was a way to add more dimensions to your elocution?
See, I know from inside, I wasn't good in, so I wanted to take up extracurricular activities. Now, what were they? Then at that time, there was elocution, then dramatics, all these things were there. Then there was debating. Somehow, I wasn't so spontaneous to be part of debating. Like, I didn't feel very confident in spontaneous responses, so I did not join, was not into debating that much, but like a little bit prepared instead of extempore was my thing. And okay, dramatics is, I guess it had something to do with Shakespeare. Like, it's, that's where it stems from.
The ability to deliver a dialogue and the language and a rhythm to it. Yeah. So I mean, it all kind of ties in, right? Because Shakespeare, a lot of Shakespeare does have a kind of rhythm to it as well. So it kind of syncs up to your musicality also kicks in over here. So this was consciously all of that ties in. And on that note, are there aspects of those skills that help you in your day-to-day job now? Like, do you feel like you can present things better? You can control a room better in a meeting? Are there things like that which you can correlate to those abilities?
The one big thing that this brings is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you need confidence to work in the corporate world, wherever you work.
Of course.
So even if I'm feeling nervous, there I know some tricks from back then which I can use to control my anxiety. It helps, of course, in this in meetings, for example, or in presentations. Of course, this is, like, it makes you very confident, all these. That's why I really liked the fact that I could had the opportunity to take up all these extracurriculars.
It was a bunch of 15 and 16 and 17 year olds who kind of spun up an entire event, which was one of its kind.
Yeah, it synchronized, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah. That's,
there was points, this we had to be nice to the judges who were invited, we had to collate scores, like, again, we had to escort people, do this, do that. It was, for me, like, I relate to a lot of things you are saying with slightly different sources. Again, synchronize, the reason I was a part of synchronize, I was able to organize my music group's first concert in college very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. I think I also enjoy the aspect of performance through music, and more recently, maybe in the last 5-6 years, through like comedy and jokes. I mean, I used to always crack jokes to like 2-3 people, but I've been doing a lot more stand-up comedy and performing.
Yeah.
Right. And stand-up comedy is all about controlling the room.
Yeah.
So even when I do presentations at work or meetings, when I speak, sometimes I feel like the easiest way to get through it is to make it a performance.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you ever intrigued by life's mysteries? Do you spend time contemplating existence, purpose, and emotion? Then, author Aditya Hegde's book, Under the Tree, is a must-have for your library. Venturing far and wide, imbibing learnings from many philosophers and ancient sculptures from across the planet, this captivating book takes you on a quest through dialogue between a serene monk nestled under the shelter of a majestic tree and the diverse beings who cross his path. Under the Tree by Aditya Hegde can soon be ordered on Amazon and Flipkart, and the ebook can be available on Kindle and Kobo. And now, back to your podcast.
But that being said, let me ask you the reverse now. What is something you thought was very important in school ended up being completely useless?
Yeah, See, I think most of what I studied, okay, most of it is of no use in the corporate world.
No, like, give me an example. That's, give me an example.
Like, see, for example, history or geography, all that I don't really use now. No, I mean, we used to have this thread and used to measure distances on a big paper. All that was
topography.
We don't really use it.
Yeah, but I mean,
They are useful probably in some aspects, but you don't use them in your day-to-day. You know, like you had this in school, there was a lot of things you were learning without knowing if they will be of any use to you later. And a lot of it, like, okay, physics, chemistry, biology, okay, maths is the one thing that's still being used, but physics, chemistry, biology, history, all these things that you study, it's not being used right now. That's all. And I feel bad about it, you know, because like I enjoyed all these things. Like history was one of my favorite subjects.
And, can I tell you a very good history, a very good history story which cracks me up? You were probably in class. You were probably in class when this happened. Okay. So you know
which standard are you talking about?
You were ninth standard. Oh no, 10th. 10th C. It was we had come downstairs to the class, the downstairs class, not the upstairs class. Right? So this is one of the funniest things that's happened, right? So you know my last name is Rabindra. You know where this is going right now. Okay.
So, yeah.
But I'm going to say this. So first of all, my last name is Rabindra because my dad's first name is Rabindra. And that's how South Indian names usually, you take your dad's first name as your last name. The reason my dad was named Rabindra was because he was born on the 100th birth anniversary of Rabindranath Tagore. And my grandparents being hipsters said, that's what we're going to name our South Indian boy.
Okay.
And then they named my aunt, who's 5 years younger than my dad, Geeta, after Geetanjali. Again, keeping the theme going. Geetanjali being the works of Tagore.
Okay.
So I've always been a South Indian boy with a Bengali last name. Right? Nikhil Rabindra. Right? And everybody, I mean, that's why a lot of people just call me Rabindra more than Nikhil. And it kind of helped out because The other cool thing to do in the 90s was to name your son Nikhil because we had 200 of them in our own batch, right? So, everybody was like, hey, Rabindranath Tagore. Like, you know, that usual dumb voice. Which I'm like, I've played that my entire life. Except, and this goes back to, remember I was telling you I was like floating my way. So, ninth was when I floated from the top 5% to the and sank down to the bottom 5%. 10th was when I was coming back on my way up to the top 5%. I never reached there, but I think I made it to the top 10 or 15%. But the main point was I was floating, so the teacher didn't know my existence.
Okay.
This is a history teacher.
Who was our class teacher in 10th? I don't remember.
It was Mrs. Savitri. She taught us English. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I know the history teacher.
Yeah. No, even Mrs. Savitri, like, went at the PTA meeting, told my mom that thought I was the other Nikhil and said I was doing all the bad things. And then when I came back, I was like, that's not me. And then she was like, no, we don't trust you. I said, let's go tomorrow to school. And then Savitri looks at me and she's like, who are you? I'm like, ma'am, I'm in your class. And she's like,
I had this who are you thing. I went to, let's take a small side trip. Yeah?
Yes.
I went to school after graduating, after 2009, I think 2 years later or 1 year later, I went 10th. Mrs. Madhavi was our class teacher in 11th and 12th, I think.
Yes.
Chemistry teacher.
Yeah.
And then after, she used to remember me in 11th and 12th. And after that, I think 1 or 2 years later, I went and went to just meet her, say, hi, ma'am, do you remember me? He's like, yes, I remember you, Rohan. So I don't know if she thought I was Rohan or, she just forgot my name.
But no, going back to 10th, so history class is going on. So I was still one of those floaters, right? So I was, So she, as always, for me, my GWB was also, depending on how you open it, it becomes an official notebook also. There was notes from every subject in there. So she had made me stand and ask me some question. She said, "What's your name?" I said, Nikhil what? I said, Nikhil Rabindra. You know, there's that
moment.
Wait. You know, there's that moment where you can see people processing information and you know that it's coming from their gut. Rabindranath Tagore, it's coming. I'm like, anybody else in the world made that joke, I will do it. You are a history teacher. If your history teacher does not know who Rabindranath Tagore's descendants, what are you doing teaching us the subject?
So she made it. She called you.
She was like, "You're Rabindranath Tagore's grandson." No, I'm like,
It just flashed in my mind. I remember this.
I'm like, do the math first of all. The man turned 100 in 1961. Okay, and then like you think we just circumcised the Nath Tagore out of the name and just kept the Rabindra?
Oh God, that was. I remember this.
So like that's one of my favorite things. But I loved history. The thing is, I liked history. I still love history. I just hated the way we learned. No, what I was trying to explain or ask you there is, I think I like a lot of the subjects, but I think some of the frameworks and how we learned those subjects were absolute rubbish.
Okay.
Like a lot of, almost, I think other than math, you could have done well in school by just mugging things up.
Yeah, that's obvious. That's most of the schools in India, right?
No, but I'm saying like, but history, when I came here, when I came to the US, here meaning US, I took a few history classes to get my grades up. So the one history class I took was the history of espionage, right? About spies around the world. And I was like, damn, this is how you learn. Because history is all about trying to find out stories and get answers to questions you have about the past.
Yeah.
For us, it was a timeline of when Gandhi made salt. but you know, I'm trying to say like, and I also, again, to get grades, I took, there was a class called British Colonization in Georgia Tech, which is taught by a Bengali lady called Hoimanti Das or something. But,
okay.
So, what is British colonization? 90% was our 10th standard history board exam. So I was just like, I passed that very well. Except in India, we call it, First War of Independence. There they call it Sepoy Mutiny.
Okay.
And I was like, no. That teacher told me it was ICSE. I got marks for calling in that. How can you say it is right? And then like, you know, then automatically you start realizing there's a debate to it. So you kind of question things. So see, that was history for us. Geography was understanding maps, yada, 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 right? But do you know something? Have you ever seen an India map outside India?
No, but I know the discussions.
Yeah. Like, so the borders, the outlines are very different. But I mean, but you know what I'm saying? But geography, I think, taught me about different landforms and seasons and this and that, which was great. But even there, if you crammed everything, if basically every word in that textbook was in your head and you knew how to map that information back into your answer sheet, you were good at that subject, which is absolutely incorrect.
You know, in geography, in science, we've been studying four seasons in the world, like in our life, there are four seasons in a year, sorry.
Yeah.
And I had never realized or never actually believed it to be true till I came to Germany, you know? And I actually saw the four seasons.
The first orange leaf you saw, you're like, see.
Yeah,
you,
I was like, this is spring.
Yeah. For you, see, for you again, this is the difference. You related to geography. When I saw fall for the first time, I was like, Mohabbate. I am going to fall in love over here right now. That's what's going to happen.
Zinda rehti hai.
That one.
So,
but yeah, I mean, see, even EBS is such an important subject in the current day and age, but we had to cram like what the Chipko moment for like 4 years.
Chipko moment.
You know, I'm trying to say like, but like, you know, like, yeah, again, this is just me being a little skeptical, but I was just curious on So, I mean, I'm just trying to, if this goes out to people who are still in their education phase, I mean, we're always learning, formal education phase.
What, they should not be demotivated, because like where it would come of use, you really don't know. Like,
correct.
It might actually, you might end up in a PhD somewhere where it actually becomes relevant. Like, for example, in the line currently that I am, I use more of physics and maths and computer science. But there might be people, like if you go into biotech or something, you would probably need a lot of biology knowledge, chemistry knowledge. If you go into politics or philosophy, then you need all this history knowledge.
Even what you're doing, has a bit of history sprinkled into it, right? You kind of need to understand the different industrial revolutions that happened.
Yeah.
In order to get where we are. So, like, it's always nice to add a story to it, right? When you start from the steam engine to, what was the second one? Yeah, steam engine to electricity to computation to cyber physical devices, whatever it is, right? And I'm sure there's a 5.0 coming already, or...
Yeah, I'm assuming AI is the 5.0.
Oh, okay. See, I learned something new. I gave up after 4. I said,
I'm assuming 4. I said, you know, like, because 4 is already connected digital stuff. So I'm assuming 5 will be AI related, because AI is taking over the world. Yeah.
No, but yeah, we can go more and more into that. But yeah, so Shyam, I think we're getting closer to the end of our conversation. I just wanted to, at this point, ask you, is there anything else that which I didn't bring up that you would like to talk about, which I missed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we haven't spoken about socials, but that was also a highlight of the year 10th, right?
Ah, okay. Tell me more about your... Tell me more.
No, I'm just saying, like, socials was a really fun event to... dance with the girls from Bishop Cotton Girls across the street.
Yeah.
And I think, was it in, we had in 10th and 12th, right? Or 10th and 11th.
10th and 12th. 10th and 12th. Basically every graduating batch, basically.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a funny story with that. This is the same old joke, right? Teachers just assume things, which is, so this is a funnier one. So let me tell you what happened for another friend of mine. He comes from a more conservative Muslim family. So even though he went to socials, he didn't dance with anyone, because he knew that, I mean, his upbringing doesn't encourage that as much. So he came, he stood in a corner or whatever, and then politely hung out with the friends. There was a chicken roll. I mean, roll for you, paneer. There was some food given. So he ate that and he left quietly, right? The next day was the PTA meeting or whatever. So I'm not going to mention names, but the physics teacher of 12A. Oh, yes, your son was enjoying himself dancing with all the girls yesterday. And he got a spanking and a half for that.
I mean, it wasn't so bad for me. Then, like, I had this this image of this nerdy guy, so it actually helped my image.
Yeah. But yeah, Shyam, I mean... we'll also wrap it up now, since we're getting closer to the 2-hour mark or whatever it is once I clean up the edit. But this was good in a way. I mean, I think I definitely wanted to make it more than a nostalgia podcast. It was more about kind of learning people. Like, again, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is the older we get, the tougher it is to make new friends. And even if you do, I think the depths of relationships and everything you have from your formative years, I think, has a bigger bond. So when we reminisce on things we share, I feel like sometimes it becomes very superficial, right? Sometimes, because if you meet what happens is your reunions will be, you meet people once a year and laugh about the same joke and then wait till next year to do it again.
But you're not making new memories.
Exactly. So here, this was my way to pull out memories I didn't know of and then kind of learn a lot more about you and everybody else in the future. So that, you know, it's almost like rediscovering who you are and you rediscovering who I am. And, you know, in a way, in our case, I think we have strengthened our friendship this way, but it will also be interesting in some cases how people might drift away from each other and we kind of understand how and when these things happen.
Yeah.
So
true that.
So that was, I think that was another key aspect. And I think we achieved that in this conversation. And, I'm sure I will get better at doing this over the next few episodes. So if I have to do a follow-up with this, I might probably call you again, and I hope you'll join for that.
Sure. We should do a follow-up. Because I think what you said is important. Like, we meet for a year, and I'm glad that we took the step to do it in a podcast.
I agree. So I will end the podcast here then, Shyam. Thank you so much for taking this time. And I hope everybody enjoys this podcast as much as I enjoyed talking to you about it.
Thanks, Nikhil, for inviting me here. And bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Well, look at that. We made it through another episode. I really liked this one because I also got a lot off my chest. I felt comforted and secure about the journey I've taken so far, and feel optimistic about what lies ahead. I'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.